And I want us to realize the studies we've been doing in Romans 6, 7, and 8, they're kind of brought together in a conclusion in this lesson. So it should answer some questions that, you know, should we continue to sin? No, shouldn't continue to sin. We're bound for heaven. Before that, we're bound for the judgment seat of Christ. And the Lord has given us tools. I hate to call the Holy Spirit a tool, but an enabler, maybe. So let's get to the study. I want to talk tonight about a life walk box. And if you would picture a square, a big two-dimensional window with one left side, a right side, and a top and a bottom, a big quadrigram, I don't know, a square, okay? And it represents a saved person's life. The lower left corner represents the time at which that person believes on Jesus Christ as his Savior, who died for that person's sins and rose again. So that lower left corner on the square is where you believe the gospel and your walk in the Spirit began. The right side edge of that four-sided figure, window, box, square, it represents, well, the right side, as you go beyond the right side, that's the end of your life here on this earth. It represents heaven for a saved person, and it represents being fully conformed to the image of God's Son, as we know from Romans 8:29. The more godly a saved person's walk is, the higher you go toward the top edge, top side edge of this square. Now, to help understand this, we'll look at three examples, and I'll try to separate them so that we're not confused with them. Example one is about a saved, spiritually established believer. Example two will be about a saved carnal believer. And example three is about a soon-to-die believer. Let's suppose that you are the person in the first example. We're talking about you. When you first trusted the ascended Christ's gospel of salvation committed to Paul, that event is represented at the lower left corner of your life walk box. You're saved, and you're bound for the judgment seat of Christ and heaven. In this first example, after you're saved, you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, studying the Bible to believe sound doctrine rightly divided. As time passes, still in the first example, as time passes toward the right side edge of your life walk box, you rise toward the top of that square, rising toward the top because you're following after the Spirit, and you finally die as an established believer. When you're, the position you've got there at that time is at the top, to the right side of the right edge of the life walk box. So that's where, if you can picture the upper right corner of the box, you're just outside of that. You've already finished this life, and you're already conformed to the image of God's Son. Now, let's consider a second example. That's the end of the first one for now. We're going to the second example with another person. He gets saved at the lower left corner of his life walk box. He's saved, and he's bound for the judgment seat of Christ and heaven. After getting saved at the lower left corner of the square, as time passes and he continues to live, he doesn't do anything for God or by God's power, or he doesn't grow. He never picks up his Bible. His inner man suffers. So, well, time passes, and he goes along this bottom side of the square. Going along as time passes, he goes to the right until he dies as an old person. He was saved because he fulfilled all that God required, having believed the ascended Christ's gospel of salvation committed to Paul. So he will go to heaven. At death, he will go immediately along the bottom of his life walk box and up the right side of that square, and he will end up at the same place as you. He will end up conformed to the image of God's Son. It's good news. He had died as soon as... let me get back to the notes here. I want to go to a third example. This is a different person. So the person in this third example died immediately the moment that he first believed the gospel. That's the setup. That's the given. Given that this person received the gospel, believed it, trusted Christ as his Savior, and then he died. Okay, as a saved person, he would go immediately to the right side of the life walk box and to the top up there where the other two are. That is heaven up there, and that represents your completed life on earth. Now let's look at this verse in Romans 8, verse 29, whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. It's in the middle of the verse there, toward the end. He did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. That's God's word right in writing, that believers are going to be conformed to the image of Christ, of his Son, once we get to heaven. And our walk is in the Spirit. If we're saved, we have the Spirit, and our walk is going to end us up in that upper right corner, as you view it, as you're looking at this example in your mind, up there where the others were, where the three examples ended up. So a believer that has believed the gospel of salvation in 1 Corinthians 15, 1-4, he is destined. He is predestined. He is predestinated, destined ahead of time to be conformed to the image of his Son. You can know that one day you will be conformed to the image of his Son. And that's the final outcome of his existence, of his life on earth. Not his existence altogether, but his existence on earth. He can't backslide from that. That's his end result. He immediately went there because he died as soon as he got saved. Now, I know there's a issue about whether that's immediate or he's unaware until a later time that it seems immediate. I don't know. I'm not going to get into that issue. But your walk may be along the bottom side of that square where that second person was who died an old and nearly useless life. That may be your walk. You may not want it to be, but it may work out that way. Depending on your choices, actually, your empowered choices, you have the power of the Holy Spirit in you that unsaved people don't have. Or your walk may As in the first example, your walk may be along the top line, near the top side of the square. Or most people, you may take a diagonal line of steady growth through that square from the lower left to the upper right. Your lifetime shown, it would be, we're talking about this life walk box. You might, if you chart the times you followed the spirit's leading, as opposed to when you followed the flesh's leading, you gradually went up. But your walk is from the starting point to the end. Your walk is from the time of your salvation until you reach your destination. You're guaranteed by God that in the end, you will be conformed to the image of His Son. So look at Romans 8, 1, first verse in Romans 8, with that in mind. Look at what your walk is and the guaranteed outcome of your walk. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So only after that point on the lower left corner of that square, that life walk square, only after you get saved at that point do you have both the flesh and the Spirit. So you could, that makes you able to go either after the flesh or to go after the Spirit. Saved people have this battle, this struggle going on that unsaved people know nothing about. All they have is the flesh. Pardon me. So in your walk, in that life walk box, if you move up a little bit, you're moving forward toward being after the Spirit, following after the Spirit. Let's say that at some time you sin. Now, God's provided for that. You know, nobody's going to come after you saying, you sinned, you're on your way to hell. So, on that step that you took where you sinned, you're going after the flesh for a while. And as time passes, you come down a little bit on your travel through that life walk box. And then you move up the next step when you start following the Spirit. And down a little, up a little. Your path isn't a straight line because of our flesh. It's always there in our members to counter us, to war against us, Paul says in Romans 7. In whatever way your walk goes, zigzagging through the middle of this square, God guaranteed that you're going to end up in the top right corner. And God said that He predestinated that for believers, your walk is going to be after the Spirit. Your total walk from beginning to end, when you look at it, no matter what it looks like, it's going to be after the Spirit, because that's what leads you up to that upper right corner. Whether you take a step after the flesh or not, we all will at one point. Maybe not just one point. God is determined to conform you to the image of His Son, Christ. We're not in the flesh. That's no longer our lot. We are believers, and believers are not in the flesh. Believers of the gospel. Everybody starts off in the flesh, and we all have flesh. But according to Romans 8, verse 9, a saved person is not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. Now, the Bible uses different terms, after the flesh, or in the flesh, or there's one other term, I don't recall it right offhand. But you have to distinguish, just like Jesus in His earthly ministry talked about inheriting the kingdom of God, or seeing the kingdom of God. You don't own everything you see, do you? Some people inherit it, some people see it. Some people enter it. So you have to look at the whole description. Romans 8, 9, not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Well, how can you know if the Spirit of God dwells in you? Look at, continue on in the verse 9, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So the moment that you receive Christ as your Savior, believing on him to have died the required death in payment for your sins, you have the Spirit of Christ in you. You're his. Romans 8, verse 9 says, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. In a minute we'll see that Paul takes all that we just summarized, and by those final verses, he draws it all together with his ending to this second quarter of the epistle to the Romans, to all that be in Rome. And that section where he does it is in Romans 8, verses 31 to 39. And we're about to go through that. Paul shows our position and our utter security in Christ, and the inability for us to ever be separated from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So let's look at the verses, starting with Romans 8, 31. Welcome to the room. Starting with Romans 8, 31, what shall we say then to these things? I got that backwards. Let me get it right. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? In other words, who's greater than God? Who is there that could possibly overcome God's will to save us to himself? Romans 8:32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifieth. Since God allowed his son, his precious son, Jesus Christ, to be crucified, he will not prevent the good that the cross earned for us. That good is going to come to us. He is on our side. Who can be against us? Don't forget, we walk by faith, not by sight. Our blessings are spiritual, not physical. Okay. Romans 8:34. Who is he that condemneth? Who is the condemner? It's Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again. Who is he, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us? So who is it that condemneth? Jesus Christ is the judge. He's the condemner. Revelation 19, verse 11. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge. Jesus Christ is the judge, and make war. So since Jesus Christ is the condemner, and he already took your condemnation unto himself, who is left to condemn you? Who is there that is able to condemn you and take you out of God's love and out of God's salvation? Who's going to make you go through God's wrath? Jesus Christ already took God's wrath that was toward you. It is an accomplished thing, already done. So remember that Jesus Christ is the manifestation of God's love. He has many things. He is his attributes, his characteristics. He's holy. He's just. He's fair. He's merciful. And he's gracious. And with all that, none of that goes by the wayside. He also has a wrath side. And that's what we're talking about here. Jesus Christ took God's wrath. God poured out his wrath on Jesus instead of on you and me. But in the aspect of God's love, Jesus Christ is the manifestation or showing of that love of God. And can we look at 1 John 4, verse 9? 1 John 4, verse 9. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Remember, we were born dead in trespasses and sins. We might live through him. That's to Israel. But we might too. That's what our gospel is about too. The life of God in us. The righteousness of Christ. Righteousness of God imputed to us. Look at 2 Corinthians 8 verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might be rich. So with that in mind, let's look at these last five verses in Romans 8. And we'll close up soon here then. Romans 8, 35 to 39. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all day long. All day long we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Verse 38, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities nor powers, nor things present nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's how God shows his love to us, in Christ Jesus our Lord. He's the expression of God, the Word of God. So that pretty much says it all, I think. And that concludes the second of Paul's three steps about how to be established, how to be stabilized. That is the preaching of Jesus Christ. The particular preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. And there wasn't much that was mentioned today that wasn't mystery. Most of it involves the mystery. It was mostly all kept secret until it was given to Paul to preach to us and to read in his epistles. So we can rightly divide out those epistles written by the apostle of the Gentiles, written to all men, as being for us and about us and to us. We need to rightly divide Paul's epistles from the rest of the Bible that was written to Israel. We need to rightly divide Jesus Christ's later heavenly instructions to all men through Paul from Jesus Christ's, rightly divided from Christ's earlier earthly instructions only to Israel. No longer valid, in fact, until the end, Matthew 24, 14, I think it is. We know in Matthew 15:24, Jesus said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And we'll be getting into more in the next lesson about Israel and their position, their fall, why we can't get saved Israel's way or by Israel's gospel anymore. In Galatians 4:4, we also read, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law. The law was still in effect when Jesus was born. Also, in John 1:11, he came came unto his own, and his own received him not. They were under the law too, but they didn't receive the one they'd been warned about, advised to follow in Deuteronomy 18, 15 through 19. And then in Romans 15, verse 8, we see, now I say, Paul talking, he says, now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision. That's who he came to. That's Israel that he came to. He didn't come to us at that time. He came later through Paul, appearing to Paul, the ascended Christ. Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God to confirm the promises made unto the fathers. Whose fathers? Not my fathers. It would be Israel's fathers. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were the ones that received the promises. That's not secret. If it's a promise, then they are counting on it because God told it to them. If he told it to them, it's not a secret. It was told. So the secret was elsewhere. The secret was afterwards revealed to Paul. Read Paul's 13 epistles, Romans through Philemon. Study them. Believe them. Jesus Christ came for a purpose and to fulfill Scripture and to bring in a kingdom. But it was rejected. That kingdom was rejected. The Son of God was rejected, as well as the Holy Ghost being rejected. And that placed Israel out of favor with God in at least two other times in Israel's history. When they were placed out of favor with God, their timetable stopped. The prophecies of how many years till things would occur stopped. When they were back in favor with God again, the clock started again. And you can see, you can count the years. And that's the way it was with the 70 weeks of Daniel, that prophecy in Daniel 9, verses 24 to 27. It stopped when they rejected the kingdom and the king and Acts 7, they rejected the Holy Ghost speaking in the mouth of Stephen. It kept counting down week of years after week of years until the 69th week. And then they rejected their Messiah and lost favor with God soon after that by rejecting the Holy Ghost-filled Stephen and stoning him. Then God brought in the pattern that he had kept secret, called the mystery of Christ. He introduced it only through Paul to us. Look at what Paul said in recognition of that in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 6, 7, and 8. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. And who would be our Savior? So it's good that they didn't know it. It's good that God kept it a secret until the right time. And that's why we read Romans through Philemon with the knowledge that it is pointed to us and that what it says is to all people without regard to being descended from Jacob or not. You know, if we're not, no, I'm not. Only in Romans through Philemon can we find our salvation instructions. And that concludes what I've got notes for here. Any comments or questions before we go to something else? Maybe a song or another grace room?
You get 12 hours of free power.
Can you go back over the box for me?
I got lost somewhere between the first turn and the third turn.
Philly. Philly, there is the link to that song, and it's on the same page with other links to similar songs from Katie Black. Katie Black is, I think that's a fairly common name. I don't think that's the one that's around here. I don't know. I think Katie Black that wrote that moved to Switzerland. Anyway, the examples and the life walk box, it's just examples. It's not, there's no, I don't know of any example or any analogy that's perfect, you know, that doesn't have some flaws, some parting of the ways with the, what the truth actually is, you know. But I was just trying to show that whether a person gets saved at the lower left of that square, and whether they study the Bible all the time and pray and help others and learn the Bible doctrine and things like that, learn how to rightly divide, they go right up by the top, they're doing all they can, and all their life until they die, they've gone along the top in a arch kind of a thing, starting at the bottom of the left and ending up at the upper right, but it's bowed up toward the top. But that's just a way of picturing their walk, whether they're following after the Spirit or following after the flesh. Somebody that gets saved in the lower left corner, example two, and he doesn't take it seriously, possibly, or he thinks, well, I'm safe now, you know, there's a lot worse things that would have happened to me, so I'm just going to take it easy all my life. Whatever he thinks. And he ends up, when he's dead, he's up there at the same spot as the person that had a positive life walk box. His bowing, though, it bows down toward the lower right. But he does end up there in the upper right corner. And then the same thing with the third example, a person that dies right after they become saved, believe the gospel. He dies, he goes immediately up to the same spot, all three of them. Everybody that's saved is going to be conformed to the image of God's Son. So that's supposed to be the impact of it.